Read some scripture here this morning, and I have some good news for you from the Word of God as we read. I'm going to start out, our main text will be in Matthew chapter 20, but I'm going to go back here to Matthew chapter 13, which we have seven parables here, but we're going to read here. The same day, starting verse number 1 of chapter 13. The same day when Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. What a great gathering of people that must have been. There were so many that Jesus had to go in a ship so that he could get away, so that he could see the whole multitude. You ever been around a whole bunch of people as they try to gather around and you're trying to speak? Some people aren't going to hear you, are they? Well, he wanted everybody to hear what he had to say. He wanted everybody to hear what he had to say. And in the first parable here, we have the parable of the sower. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And I'm not going to read all that. And I'm just going to read select verses here as I get to my main text this morning. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. That was verse 6. Get down to verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you speak to them which they can't understand? He answered, said unto them, because it is not unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. See, here we see special privileges given unto those who have spiritual knowledge. Now, of course, here in the context of this, we know that Jesus was talking mostly to the Jews, to the Jewish people. They would gather around here. There would be many of them there who came just to see if there wasn't something that they might be able to criticize Jesus about. They didn't understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. They were spiritually blind. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. Well, they were smart. They could see a lot, but they could not see the spiritual things that he was talking about. Now, there were a great number of people here. It wasn't like just a few people that we have here this morning, and I bless the Lord for each and every one of you. But there were a great number of people there. And when you have a great number of people, you always have those who are there to criticize. There are those who are just there to see, what about this man? What is different about this man? Maybe if I go, I could see something different about this man. There are those who had doubts in their minds. Those who completely just refuse to open up their hearts and minds to hear what God had to say to them. These are the ones that Jesus is speaking about. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them, okay, I don't want to read too much because you can read right down through here. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. God's word is sure, okay? God's word is sure. It will be fulfilled, as Isaiah made this prophecy. And here we see there's no understanding. They virtually, what a blessing to have Christ teaching you. And yet there were many, because this is why he was speaking to, he says, was saying, by hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand. You hear what's being said, but you don't understand. I'm sure there's many times when the pastor is speaking from the Word of God that you hear, but you don't quite understand. You're not criticizing, but you don't quite understand. You know who opens up the Word of God to you? The Holy Spirit. You know how He'll open up the Word of God to you? First of all, you have to know His Son. Without knowing His Son, you cannot understand what He is saying. First, you must be born again. You must have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, a heart that is ready to hear when the Spirit of God is talking to you. These people all did not. These people all did not. Some He said did, didn't He? He didn't say not everybody here, but some, most did not. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Verse 15. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts, just what I was saying to you, and should be converted, and I should heal them. How can they be healed? Only by the Savior. So they've hardened their hearts. They've closed their ears. They do not want to hear, because they do not want to be converted. Because the group of individuals, the number, how many, however many was there, many did not want to hear what Jesus said. It was a curiosity. He was a curiosity. Many come to church, not so much in this church, because we never have so many that the people that come in here want to hear the Word of God as a whole. They want to hear the Word of God. Now, whether they are open to hear what God is saying to them is another story. Whether they're open to hear what God is saying to them is another story. Some come out of obligation. Some come because they truly want to hear what God has for them this day. And many who walk out of here today will say, I'm thankful that God had me in this service today. Because from His Word, using me as His mouth, not for what I say, but from the Word, what the Word of, you listen to what the Word of God says. Not for any rabbit trail that I might go down. You listen to what God has to say. See, there were probably many there who were speaking. They were saying to somebody, he doesn't know what he's talking about. As Jesus was preaching to them. He gets to this verse here, for these people, those who have hardened their heart so much, they wax, sin retrogressive. Sin is retrogressive. There's a deterioration in sin. There's a deterioration in sin. People's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are full dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Now Jesus says to those who, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He's talking to His disciples. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye, therefore, the parable of the sower. And then he goes on into another parable. And then he goes into another parable of tares about the kingdom of heaven. He starts out, and we'll go to Matthew 20. The kingdom of heaven. Many people say they want to go to heaven. Why do they want to go to heaven? Because we've preached about how great heaven is. Everybody wants to live the life of on the gold, the streets of gold, and live in the mansions of heaven. In your churches today, oh, how great God is. God is so good, and He is. And the good part about that is God is so good, He would have none to be lost. He would have none to be lost. But there are those who have hardened their hearts. I'm talking about the people of the day now. And remember, Ecclesiastes said there's nothing new under the sun. People of the day have closed their ears and their hearts. And as we get further and further away from reading and listening to the preachers that are preaching the Word of God, our hearts get harder. The world affairs around us seem like they're getting greater. Things seem like they're waxing worse and worse, and they are. But I remember as a child, I guess it was a child, to my mom and dad, things seemed pretty bad too. We lived under the cloud of nuclear attack anytime. Of course, now we're back to that again. Anytime we could have a nuclear attack. That was pretty fearsome, as I can recollect, everybody. You know, we had our drills in school. Those of you who are roughly around my age, you remember they had you jumping under desks and stuff like that. God, even as a kid, I used to think, what good is getting underneath a desk going to be if a nuclear bomb goes off? But things seem to be waxed. They will. Things are getting worse. But we as Christians need to understand what God is saying to us. You that are lost need to pray that God will open up your heart and your eyes and hear what He has to say, so that Jesus can heal you and save you. And you'll want to go to heaven not because of the things that are spoke about heaven, because you'll want to be there with the great God who sent His Son to die for us. You'll want to be there with your loved ones that you know that are there. You'll want that peace, that knowing of all that is in your heart right now, whether you're growing older or you know those who are gone. That's the peace that only God can give. Somebody said the other day they do not understand how anybody eat right now in this particular situation of financial woe that our country is facing now, how anyone who does not know the Lord can make it through. That's true as far as I can understand. I know how I would be. I would be such a worrywart. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? There's circumstances coming up here in December that will affect me and Dennis Marquis and about our pensions. What to do? What to do? Well, first of all, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do but pray. Pray. That's about every circumstance in your life. Go to the one who can comfort you through these trials. Now, I'm going to just go ahead because I can speak on. I'm going to go to the text that I wanted to give you here this morning, and that would be in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Starting here, this is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. And I like this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And, you know, I don't know anything about vineyards and farming. The little bit I know, you could put in a thimble. But the pastor knows a great deal about farming and growing up the way he grew up. I grew up on the streets of Baltimore. And we didn't have to worry about raising a crop that came in a can at the grocery store. But there are, even before it ever got to that can, there were men going out to hire people to go out and to pick whatever the fruit or whatever it is that needed to be picked. Now, I want you to look at this from a spiritual standpoint. A spiritual, because that's what it is. If Jesus is talking about it, it is for your spiritual need or your spiritual growth. And he's talking about for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. This being Christ, think about the world as the vineyard. Think about the world as a vineyard, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. This is a moral vineyard. We have spiritual laborers here. He went out early, roughly around 6 o'clock. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. A day's wages for a day's work. A day's wages for a day's work. And I looked that penny up. A penny was not bad wage. A penny was not a bad wage in that, for that time. We'd say penny. I see pennies I don't pick up because I'm too old to bend over and pick them up. My back hurts or something like that. No. But a penny wages was a good wage at this time. Many are saved. Many are saved early in their life. Think about this. The price has been paid already. The price has been paid by Jesus. He shed his blood for everyone. But I want you to see something here. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny of day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour. And saw others standing idle in the marketplace. The third hour being about 9 o'clock in the morning. Now let's look at this from the standpoint of those who were saved early. Laborers, spiritual laborers being sent out by God. That some may be saved later on in their lives. Some, a little, not, they weren't in the beginning. They weren't in on the labor at the beginning. But Christ didn't give up on them, did he? He didn't give up on them. He went back out again. He went back out again about the 9 o'clock hour we use here. He went about, we'll just use what the Bible says, the third hour, but I'm just giving you the idea there. The third hour. And saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. See the wages, whatsoever was right. He is the one that paid the price, didn't he? He was the, I'm going to use the boss. So he was the one that was going to decide what was right. He, the boss. But he knew, he being the boss, knew that the price was already paid. It was paid in full from the very beginning for you and for me. The price was already, it has been paid. That penny, God said, I'm going to send my son, he's going to pay the price, in full. No matter when you get saved. You might have got saved, as I said, like the pastor got saved about 6 years old. What a blessing. And he was going to grow up. And he would learn more. Because he was willing to hear when God called him to salvation. When the Holy Spirit drawled him to the Savior, he was willing at a young age to call out to God. And thanks for the price that was paid in full by Jesus. Now he says, and he went out about the, verse 4, and he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. You're saved? I have those who have been saved a long while. I want you to go out into the vineyard. Go out into the harvest field. And whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth hour, that being about noon, and the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock, and did likewise at 5 o'clock. So he wasn't idle, was he? He wanted more. He wanted more souls for the kingdom. He wanted more laborers to labor for the kingdom. He just didn't say, okay, I got all I want right here in the morning. What a great God we have who doesn't give up on us because we are late and later in life to be saved. We rejected God maybe many times in your life without even thinking about it. Maybe as you're a little older here and you can think back how many times you said to God, not now. Not now. I'm too busy. He didn't give up on you. He came back later, didn't he? Later in the day, he sent one of his laborers into the vineyard. Later in the day, when you were standing around idle, he sent one of his laborers because he cared for you. He cared for you. Now the laborers, what about the laborers? I want to back up right here to verse 27 of chapter 20 of chapter 19. He's talking to Peter here, Jesus. Verse 26, but Jesus behold them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. These are some of the laborers that he had. These are the laborers, spiritual laborers. Here's some human ambition here. Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What am I going to get for laboring? What am I going to get for laboring? Here comes the human flesh in us, don't it? Those laborers. And we'll see more of that as we get into the verses here. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say, this is a reward for your discipleship. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones. This is talking, of course, to the Jewish men there. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father for Christ's sake or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, for Jesus' sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Then there's this verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Of course, again, he's talking to the Jewish people about us, the Gentile. We came in last. That's what's so joyful about these scriptures today. We might be last, but we'll be first in the kingdom of heaven. He's putting to rest your mind. And you know, me, I'm thinking, that's a shame. I've been the same way. That's a shame that I should even ask the Savior. What do I get out of doing this? What do I get out of doing this? What do I get out of going out into the vineyard? What do I get out of going out and winning and leading souls to the Lord? What do I get out of that? That's a shame, isn't it? But we are human. We are human. We could have asked that question just as simple, just as easy as Peter asked that question. Did he mean anything wrong about it? No. I think if he had said it in the wrong way, Jesus would have rebuked him. Jesus would have rebuked him. But remember that verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And now we're down to the fifth hour. I mean, at 5 o'clock time, day's about over. And about the 11th hour, that was about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing idle. And said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Why are ye here doing nothing? And those men stayed there, didn't they? They were there until the end. Maybe nobody approached them about, do you want to be saved today? It's late in the day. It's time for the rest of the workers to go back. But Jesus didn't. Jesus went out at the 11th hour and said, why stand ye here? There's work to be done. I need more laborers. What a blessing it must have been to those men as they stood there all day long, maybe all day long, till somebody came to them and says, go ahead, I can use you now. I'll take care of the wages. I'm the man that paid the price. I pay the wages. They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. Go labor for me. And whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. You see, here in our own minds, we're saying, well, they came at the end of the day. Who was setting the price? Who was saying whatsoever is right? Jesus was saying whatsoever is right. I'll decide whatsoever is right. You don't have to worry about a man who has not compassion upon you saying whatsoever is right. You'll get just 1 hour's worth of whatever I give the rest of the people that work for me today. You'll just get a little small portion. Jesus didn't think like that, did he? Remember that. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So, when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now to me, this is a heart check here. This is a heart check. I'm going to see how they're going to react. I'm going to start paying wages by the last who came in and find out what kind of heart do my laborers have. How do they see what they're worthy and what somebody else is worthy to have? And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Every man a penny. Now, you know, they paid them. They just didn't say, okay, you come over here. You come over here. You were hired last. You come over here. I don't want you to tell anybody. I don't want you to tell anybody what I'm going to pay you. But we're going to give you the same as the man who started off at 6 o'clock in the morning. I know they didn't do that. He said, when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. That's us, isn't it, folks? That's the flesh in us. Well, he paid that man who came last a penny. I should get more. I should get more. That's how our human minds work. We are always worried that somebody else will get more than us. But the price was not paid by the laborers, was it? The price was not paid by the laborers, but by the boss. He had already paid the full price. And he was deciding who got paid what. And they likewise received every man a penny. But what did you think in their minds went through their minds at that time? Well, that ain't fair. That ain't fair. You would hope to believe. You would hope to believe. Now, we're talking about disappointment here, but we're talking about impartiality by the man who did the hiring. And, of course, verse 11, when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. In our mind, I'm thinking in each and every one of our minds, we're saying, that would not be me. Would it? Would it not be you? Would you not murmur if somebody paid somebody the same amount of money? Say you worked a whole month and the other person worked a few days, and that person got paid the same amount of money that you worked for a whole month? Something to contemplate. So you start saying, well, the poor education ain't very right. That person just started a few days ago and they're going to pay them the same amount as they pay me. That's not going to happen in the world, is it? How many people do you know in the world that would do what Jesus did? You'll get paid what you worked. You worked 1 hour, you'll get paid 1 hour. If you worked all day, you'll get paid for working all day. But he was the good man, wasn't he? He was the one that paid the price for our souls. I paid it all. I paid it all. Jesus could say, because he was not impartial. He had no, there's one better than another in the heart of our Savior. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Labor troubles. My Bible has out here labor troubles. That would cause some labor troubles. Apparent injustice. Of course, men's jealousy. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost not thou agree with me for a penny? Dost not thou agree? When I went to work for this the board of education, I agreed with them to work for them for whatever they wanted to pay me for the hour, or I wouldn't have worked there. So why should I murmur if they decided to pay somebody else more money than me? I'm the one that agreed to work for what they said. Take that thine is, take what thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as I unto thee. No, he was the one who held the purse, didn't he? God is, you know, those of us who are saved, how many times we must grieve the Holy Spirit and what we think in our minds. What we think in our minds. That's just not right. You might not say it to anybody. But we sing the song, Christ liveth in me. He is in me. And the Holy Spirit instructs me. He is in me. He teaches me the things of God. So whether or not I was saved young or I was saved in an older age, when I get to heaven, you think God's going to say, it's too bad. You weren't saved when you were young. I have so much more I could give you. because you would have labored longer for me. No, that's not our God. Talking about a God of love? That's a God of love. You don't have to worry about what you'll be paid, because my Son already paid the price in full. Your reward here is the same. You may have only lived a year or days after you were saved. But when you get to heaven, the Savior who died for those who were saved for 100 years is the Savior who died for you. And you can thank the God of heaven, who is impartial, that you were saved even in the last hours of your life. Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Think about that. Because someone else is good, is it necessary for you to be evil towards that person? Verse 16, so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. God sent laborers into the vineyard, into the harvest field. He needs more laborers. He's called many to go to work, hasn't he? He's called many. Many have been called to be saved, but they've hardened their hearts. Not today. Not today. Not today. I've been treated unfair. I've been treated unfair. I'm just worried about that other person you call Christian. I'm just worried about them. The mind does many things that drive us away from the Lord. So when the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about your condition, that you are lost, and you need to repent to a holy God, don't worry about the person who was called before you. What reward I will get, what reward I will get because I was saved when I was young? What reward I'll get because I'm saved in the last days? I want you to be thankful this morning if you're saved now. I want you to be thankful that the Word of God tells you no matter what the hour, the payment is the same in the eyes of God. Jesus paid the price for you to be saved. There's nothing you can do but repent and thank God that He draws you through the blessed Holy Spirit to understand, to hear that which is said. Didn't those, some of those verses we read say they don't understand because their eyes are blinded, their hearts are hardened, their ears are shut? We that are laborers in the field, as we have the anxious meetings on Wednesday evenings, as we sit here right now, thinking about people that we know that are lost, our job is to keep praying. Keep praying that God will be merciful unto the lost and draw them unto the Savior. I hope these scriptures were a help to you this morning. Keep praying for the lost, because we that are His laborers That's why we're here. We're not here to have, as many a pastor has said, we're not in this world to have a lot of good materialistic things. And we may have them. God may give them to us. But we're His laborers for the vineyard field, the souls that are out there. Do you think He says, my fields are full, I have many laborers? No. His fields, there are many lost, but He does not have the laborers that He needs. Let's keep praying for the lost. Let's close. Father, we thank You for Your message this morning. Pray, Father, that it did not take anything out of content that You would not have had me to say. If be, Father, please clarify it in the hearts and the minds of the hearer. Thank You for Jesus this morning. We thank You for our pastor and how he breaks this bread of life that You've given to us each week. I pray for him there in Brazil as he speaks. I pray, Father, for the men who are speaking this evening, that You would take this afternoon, dwell in their hearts and minds, giving them the scriptures that You would have them to say, that we might learn more about Jesus, that we might learn more about the master of the house. And that, Father, whatever You'd have us to do in laboring, that we would be content because of Jesus. Thank You for this day. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be dismissed. Thank you.